Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Big Thing. It is time to talk about the things we're going to talk about. If you looked in the YouTube video or the podcast feed, you saw we're talking about the Die Hard prequel, Dying Harder. That's a dad joke, but there's so much to talk about inside of that. Lorenzo Di Bonaventura confirmed it. It's not happening. No more Die Hard 6. Does that mean we're not going to get a movie at all? Well, Brett and I, Brett's the expert. We're going to talk to him about that for sure today. And the Blue Beetle. What superhero is that? I don't know. But I know Jolo Manadueña, and he is Miguel from Cobra Kai. Apparently, he got cast in that series. I'm excited to talk about it. I'm excited to talk about it with Brett. I'm excited to talk about it with you guys. And we should start get going right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the big thing. It is Wednesday. It feels like Monday to me. A lot of crazy stuff happening. Talk about all of it. And I got this character with me. All right, buddy.
Last week I was in a perpetual Tuesday. It was just like all Stayed week Tuesday it was Tuesday. Week. I don't know what it was.
And it was weird because I can say this here. I've been keeping a secret from my kids for so long. But you guys already know the dog is coming in on the 15th of the month. And it's right around the corner, but it feels like it's been forever to get this little bastard, and we're just waiting and waiting and waiting, but it's almost here. But last week went so fast, but yet we're still waiting and still almost still 2 weeks away before we get this little rat. 87 names been bounced around about what we're going to call this little guy, but we'll figure it out soon. So that thing about Die Hard today, though, man. I'm a big Die Hard fan. You're like a casual fan.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, I remember liking it.
Yeah.
But when you mentioned that there were five, I was like, oh, they did five?
I watched the first one quite often. I watch it. I try to watch it at least once a year. It is one of my favorite movies of all time, not just action films. I just think it's a brilliantly made film. Obviously turned Bruce Willis into a megastar.
Oh, yeah.
Second one I loved. I love the second one. People always say that the second one was just was okay, or they think it's the worst one. I love the second one. It's a rehash of the first one, but I thought it had the same bones as what made the first one special. The third one is a really good movie, but seems to me more like a Lethal Weapon movie where it's like a buddy cop film, and I always thought it was always about John McClane being on his own trying to figure his way out. I like the dynamic he has with Zeus. I just felt it was a different, and I think that it was even taken from a different script and then turned into a Die Hard movie. Great movie, though. So the first three are awesome. Fourth one, it's got a PG-13 rating. I know there's an unrated version that I've never seen, and people say, well, that one's good. Well, that's not the one I saw. I saw the average one. Len Wiseman directed it, who was supposed to direct this prequel. And then the fifth one, which is just a flaming pile of shit. It's so bad. It is so, so bad.
Now that I want to see.
No, you don't want to see it. It is bad, and it's because Bruce Willis is phoning it in just there for the paycheck. There's no doubt about it. He's not John McClane. He is Bruce Willis from start to finish.
When did Bruce start phoning it in? I mean, was this pre? From what I heard, Looper was his last one.
He's great in Looper.
Like, was the last one where he actually did a good. And then after
he was phoning it in way before that.
And then just kind of maybe came out.
Ryan Johnson got him out. Got him pulled that performance out of him. There's no doubt about it. Like. And I think that's the point, is that there's and he was good in the last one, the Shyamalan movie, the third movie in the Split franchise, whatever the hell the one.
It wasn't great, but he
was good in it. He was good in it. And it's like when he wants to care, he still got it, but he just hasn't cared in a while. And I think that he's probably just with Die Hard, whatever.
Yeah.
And
that's just blows my mind. Can you imagine? I mean, like, this is a dream job for people, but even people that fulfill their dreams will get tired of working at some point.
Tired, and I think he wasn't challenged on it, and he just knew that it was a paycheck. Like, these idiots will watch anything that John McClane does, and it certainly wasn't the case because that movie is not a good movie. So I was not excited at all, even though Len Wiseman had nothing to do with the fifth one. He did the fourth one, and I think he directed the Total Recall remake.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. If he did, good for him. Then that means there's a movie that I didn't mind that movie. That was okay.
Yes. Kate Beckinsale, right?
Yeah. And that was his wife at the time. I don't think they're married anymore. Well, no, they're not married anymore. But they were married at one point. What the hell do I know? But either way.
So if they were married, and if you directed it, good for him.
Good for him.
If he wasn't.
But if he wasn't, I don't know. Either way, they signed him on for this prequel, and I remember hearing about him, like, what are we doing here? We're going to see John McClane in the 70s? Because then what? The whole point was it was the 80s. It was that first time he was a normal cop that got caught in that situation. You're going to put him in the 70s and something like that happened to him also? No. The first time that happened to him, I was okay as it started to happen to him after the 80s. That was the joke. How can the same thing happen to the same guy? Thought it was great. Ben Treblecook wrote a screenplay about what Die Hard 6 should be. And I still, to this day, if they're going to do anything, make this dude's script. It is the anniversary of the Nakatomi building in Japan. And he goes to Japan because they want to celebrate him. And that was the other thing that drove me nuts. And I've been having this conversation a lot lately. Where how, if John McClane did what he did in the first one, and then the second one, and then the third one, and then the fourth one, the guy would be an internet celebrity. He would be everywhere he goes, he would eat for free, right? And he's it's like, let's give him his props. So he goes to Japan, and he's there to celebrate. And there's something that goes down the baby version of Nakatomi was the one in L.A. The massive, big Nakatomi is in Japan, and he's got to do it. He's got to do it again, but this time older, and he's got to be in. And he's Japan in this building with new technology and all this stuff. That to me is the story. That to watch him do it now would be interesting.
Why do I think that was kind of part of this? Because we were discussing it yesterday, and I feel like somebody had mentioned that the new Nakatomi building and then flashbacks to it was going to be that tied with flashbacks to him younger.
I think that people probably got.
They assumed it might be.
We've talked about that script so much that maybe it got caught
up.
That was not the story, at least that I heard. From what I heard, they were going to do is he's on like a train and he's going back and he's flashing back and forth.
You look like a crazy person with your glasses like that.
Like this. You know what's crazy about that is that you're probably going to see that about. Look at this. Maybe 1,000 times during we shot all these cantina matches.
Yeah.
There are so many times that it's probably like this. It's probably like,
hey, you winner!
And you're just flying all over the place. But yeah, we'll see that happen. You can check out all those matches, by the way. It was nuts. The crowd was awesome, dude. And then there's tickets left. There's only like 7 tickets left. There's a whole Reddit thread about a guy who was there and how people haven't seen it yet, haven't seen the footage. People are gonna be kicking themselves in the ass that they had an opportunity to go because it was we were just there all day, and we were hanging out. We were taping matches. All 4 of the matches were phenomenal. The bar was open. The kitchen was open. People were masked, checking vaccines. It was very safe. We had the title match between Merle and Irwin. We had tournament matches. They were all great. Crowd loved it. Very loud. Fun music booming throughout the place. It was awesome. It was like a mini version of it, like doing it in studio, but you could have an audience there. And there's like 9 tickets left or something like that with Chandru and Mike playing on the 14th. And it's like, get there. If you can get there, get there. So SchmoDownLive.com. But jumping back to
Nakatomi.
I want to get to what Lorenzo Di Bonaventura said. Because he's the big producer over it. I mean, he was Paramount for many years.
What was the name, too? It was like No Time to Die or something like that. It was a good, punny name.
I just don't care. I just don't care about it.
I mean, when I heard it was scrapped, I didn't know it was happening, and I also was like, well, why would you do a prequel-y kind of thing to that?
Yeah, nothing about it. I just saw where the hell is it? It's now the story's gone. Maybe they took out. Maybe they're making the prequel again because the story's gone.
Everybody talked about it. I guess they want it.
Oh, there it is. The Die Hard prequel is dead. This is from Lorenzo Di Bonaventura. This is what he said. Yeah, no, that's not happening. But what was really interesting was that we came up with an idea to do it. It was a project that wasn't Die Hard that then, wasn't. What? It was a project that wasn't Die Hard that then. That's miswritten. It was a project that wasn't Die Hard then. I'll say that. Eventually shifted over to Die Hard. Yeah, I mean, that's. I mean, look, I'm not going to go, oh, that's the problem, because I think that's what the third one was also. What was interesting about our idea was it allowed you the ability to meet the young John McClane and use Bruce. Oh, so they were gonna de-age him.
Oh, fun.
So
everybody loves that.
So it was interesting in that way. So you saw both versions of him. No, I don't think that was interesting at all, Lorenzo. Lorenzo Di Bonaventura has done a lot of great movies and has done a lot of amazing stuff, but I'm not on board with that. I'm glad that this movie is toast. This version of this movie is toast. It is nothing that I had any interest in whatsoever. I do have an interest of going to see him one more time, redeem himself, go and do that. The Matrix is doing. Matrix has given us one more because the second and third one were stink. And they're giving us the fourth one to let us give us a shot.
Yeah,
I'm all for giving it a shot.
I didn't hate two.
Two would have been better if three delivered.
Yeah, that's the because it was a setup. And yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't. Two isn't.
But still,
terrible.
At the time, I think I wasn't as I still was in that, like, because it was when The Matrix came out, that was like revolutionary, and you're like, oh my god. And we were just discussing this with our friends, like, their daughter saw The Matrix and she was like, ah, it's okay. And you're like, what? It's because they've done that again
a million times.
Yeah, so now it's not the bullet thing and all that isn't as cool.
It's
but
it's really clever, and I watched Matrix probably a year ago, right when the pandemic started last year. My wife and I watched it, and she's like, and she didn't remember it as much, and she's like, this is such a great movie. She's like, let's watch the second one. I'm like, it's not as exciting as you're making it out to be.
Just did one with Blake that we didn't do. We're like,
because you can tell that even with the first one, they didn't really know what they were doing with the second one, and then when they did, they went too fucking weird with it. And the second one, like you said, I remember feeling the same exact way you did. I don't know if you remember this, but the second and third one came out within 6 months of each other.
Wow.
Second one came out in the summertime. The third one tied up at the end. And I remember going to see this with my ex-girlfriend, my buddy Mike, and I guess his girlfriend at the time. And we were walking out. He's like, I don't know if I loved it. I said, I really dug it. I said, because it's setting up some big stuff, some clever stuff, and it didn't set up anything clever. Mm. And this stupid thing that he did with Trinity and Neo, and it's been going on forever. I'm like, ugh. And then what they did with Hugo Weaving, that like he overtakes the system. I'm like, this is getting stupid now. The third one sucks. I don't think I tried to rewatch the second one. I started watching. I'm like, this is fine. Then I realized how bad the third one was, and I was like, I don't even want to get to the third one. But Dead Man, I don't want to see a fourth one. I want to give him a chance to redeem himself.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's what and that's how I feel about Die Hard. I want Die Hard. I want to see Die Hard. I want to see them take that script by Ben, or a version of that, him in one last time. He's in Japan. He's got to go through it, but he's older now. He's not. And if he's got to rely on somebody else, and if it'd be great still if Sam Jackson went with him. If you know Holly's out of the picture at this point, he's got to go with Sam, and he's Zeus, and he goes and they go together, and Zeus is an old man too. He's like, why'd you drag me out here for this? You want to get just to stroke your ego, and they go out, and or maybe Zeus is the one who says you should go out and do this. You know, come on, go and get your old ass out of there, and they're still buddies. That would be great, and they got to work together, inside of this building. That to me is more exciting than seeing John McClane de-aging in the 70s.
The only way I'd like to see it if they could just clip in old episodes of Moonlighting as the
perfect.
And just if you did that for the background stuff, perfect.
Right. Well,
other than that, then
who
not needs, on my
no,
watch.
Who, not on your watch. But there's two things that you said there. The first reminds me a lot of what we've talked about, how initially when we started the big thing was an Indiana Jones podcast. We can also bring it back to Indiana Jones because they're also doing Let's do one more.
Yeah.
It's the fifth one because people didn't like the fourth one. Wasn't regardless of how the critics scored it well, but the fifth one is trying to redeem in the fans' eyes what it was. So they're like to do that again with Die Hard. The other thing is, was there anyone sexier than a 1970s Sybil Shepherd?
Oh,
holy shit!
Yeah, get out of town.
You look at old pictures of Sybil Shepherd. She is like one of the sexiest women I think that ever walked the planet.
Yeah.
Holy shit balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taxi Driver?
Woo.
I mean, come on.
Come on.
You see why De Niro loses it? I mentioned a few things to you guys before about, Schmodown and things we're doing and all that. And thank you to all of the people out there with the the Collision. We finally did an in studio and a hybrid of digital matches, and what an event it was. And we were so excited to partner with Captain Morgan and to have them on board for the Collision. Captain Morgan is the original Spiced Rum, and you can go back and you can watch the Collision. It's on this channel. It aired live to everybody. It was not pay-per-view. You saw Marisol McKee versus Kevin Smith. What a match that was. Dimolanta versus Kelly in a Star Wars match. Saul versus Moses, and Corruption versus Shazam in one of the all-time greatest teams matches I think we've ever had. So if you haven't checked it out, you should. It just aired on July 31st. It is on this channel now. And no matter how you choose to celebrate and watch the Schmodown, Captain Morgan is best enjoyed responsibly. That is the captain's orders. That's Captain Morgan, original spiced rum at Captain Morgan USA. That's right. Hey, there you are. So there was going back to the cantina. Like, we got there at the Scum and Villainy Cantina. Those matches are going to start airing soon, and it was pretty awesome. It was the first time we ever had like a crowd there again. You know, just
yeah,
because the Collision had competitors and managers and crew, obviously, but this had fans coming to see it who bought tickets there to be there. It was cool.
Oh,
it was
cool.
Yeah,
that feeling of just finally getting some energy in the room like
that.
It's
just a different show,
man. Yeah,
it's just a different show, and that's, I think that's what people. Like, I've been trying to tell people, you could tell from all the competitors, all the managers, they all like it just everybody woke up, mm-hmm. and it was like coming out of the Matrix. You know, it's certainly how I felt. It's like when I there was a competitor that competed that day that I had a conversation with, like, I don't know if I'm just not as having as much fun. And I was like, wait until you play live again, or wait until we're in studio. This mm-hmm. isn't the show. This is great competition, but this isn't the show. And then that person competed and was like, "Yeah, you're right. I'm hooked again." I'm like, "Of course, because that's what the show is." So, yeah, what are you saying?
I'm pitching myself to somehow get to the Brooklyn one because my sister lives in Brooklyn. Right now.
That's October 9th. That's happened. The SchmodownLive.com, and then the Spectacular. There's so many surprises. There was a guy that was in the crowd at the cantina, and he had won a ticket, and he brought his buddy. And I was walking by, and he introduced himself, and I talked to him. He's like, "This is my buddy's first time ever hearing about the Schmodown." Oh, wow. He's a big wrestling fan. He goes, "He just bought tickets to Spectacular. He loves it so much."
Nice.
I was like, "Yeah, that's the whole point, is that you're not going to do that from somebody stumbling upon you could on some of the matches. So like, what's this? But mm-hmm. like, it's not. That's the diehard trivia fan that finds the show and says, "Oh, I want to come see this live in person." It's the people who have seen it live, or have seen footage from it live, or seen the studio matches of what it is, those are the people that are going, or know the show from what it was from beforehand, going, "I got to be there." Like, if you are a fan of this show at any capacity, and you can get to either Brooklyn or L.A., and you haven't, you're missing out. And some people are talking about the variant, but vaccination rates are up,
yep,
which is great. People are A, getting smarter, or getting the shit scared out of them and finally doing it, which is massive. The other thing is, so what's this guy's name? Osterholm. You hear this character, the doctor? He's on like every news. Everywhere you go, Osterholm. He pops up, and he's like, he looks like Brian Dennehy.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm avoiding the news so much. I mean, I only get my news from Fauci, so I don't know.
Fauci. I watch the news every night after I finish work. I watch the news because I'm. You know, want to know what's going on with the world, but I'm also want to catch up to be able to talk about it and say, like, because there are concerns on the variant. Yeah. From what a lot of the experts are saying is this wave, this fourth wave that we're in, which is definitely obviously a fourth wave, the way that it works is, and every wave, and even when it was going on in India too, there's like 4 or 7 weeks where it's really, really bad. We're like 3 weeks in, so we got another like 4 or 5 weeks left of this wave from what the experts are saying, right? And what it means is, should people be getting vaccinated throughout it? When it goes down, it's going to keep going down and moving down. If you don't get vaccinated, then the next variant's going to come up. And then the next one will put us in jeopardy. So what's happening is that all these people that are in the hospitals, there's thousands of cases now, thousands upon thousands of new cases every day. they're getting vaccinated after they survive, if they're lucky enough to
yeah,
survive.
Yeah.
And so that's why you see a lot of the spike. And then there's these other people that have like, just been hesitant about it and go, I don't want to catch this shit. And then, yeah, so.
Yeah, I saw a guy in the hospital. His kid couldn't see him. He refused to get vaccinated. His kid couldn't see him, was sitting outside the window waving. He goes, that little guy right there is a reason to get vaccinated. I'm like, he wasn't before?
Beforehand, right.
But now that you're dying.
Now, he was okay. Just, I didn't take it because
he was a real shithead before I got sick. But now. He's a good kid.
But now. Everybody, they change their morals when it suits them.
But you still get it if you're vaccinated.
I was thinking about that today, though, with the space, with the whole thing that was going on with Bezos and was it Branson?
What yeah.
The fuck's again? It's like the ball's on people, though. The ball's on people. Like, it's, I was listening to, I can't remember what it was. And you're like, oh, these rich assholes going into space and spending their money on space. Remember being a kid going, yeah. I'm going to go to space. Yeah. If you had fucking $1 billion falling out of your asshole in the morning, you wake up, you want to go to the beach? Now let's go to space.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you should have spent it on you should spend it on charity. Granted, first of all, you don't even know if he has or not. He probably has, both of them have spent tons of money on charity. But it's just the fact that we want to say, you shouldn't spend it that way. But they go about Bezos. They go, well, you know, the guy's been an asshole and he basically whips his prick out at the end of it and goes, this is for all the Amazon workers. And he's paying them like $6. Yeah. I'm with you there. But here's what we shouldn't also forget. If he paid every one of them, if the guys that are making $20,000 a year, if he paid them all $100,000 a year, he'd still be making enough money to go out into space because you keep buying socks on Amazon.
There's no, and again, you know, I mean, it is documented. I believe that Bezos is one of the lowest donors of anybody.
Is
but,
it?
Yeah, I mean, like, well, he's like, it's like Warren Buffett. Right. And, you know, like, he's.
He needs to donate. There's no doubt about it. I'm with you there. But what
again,
I'm saying is,
if
even
we had
if he
money,
did,
we'd have jetpacks and we'd be zipping around the backyard.
I would have created my own fucking lightsaber and I would be flying around in a jetpack in my backyard and people would, like, oh, I want to. And then I would donate. But it's like, yeah.
I wanted a blue one.
right. You have it. You take it. And it's like, it's what everyone said. Oh, if you had $1 billion, what would you do? Not everybody's going to be fucking Gandhi. And not everybody's going to be doing like super moral. You're going to be, I want to go to space. And what they could probably do is probably help. I want to make this very clear. I don't give a shit about Bezos. I think he's it looks like a penis.
Oh, yeah.
And the same thing with Brand. I don't care about either one of these guys. They're just fucking disillusioned billionaires. They should use their money how they want to use it. You also allowed to say, well, you should do this, you should do that. But if you want to go to space, go to space. What the fuck do I care?
Yeah.
Go to space. And do you think that you know why all this came in? I had a dream I went to Mars last night.
Really?
Yeah, I had a dream I went to Mars. I don't know how I got there. I was in a spaceship.
But that's your timeline variant, right?
It could have been. I could have actually been in Mars last night in line jumping.
That's right.
But I went to Mars, and when it was weird because I got I can take out bits and pieces of the dream. I don't remember how I got there. Went with my wife. I get there. We landed there by accident, right? And then I remember landing there. Oh, well, we're in Mars, and nobody has video of this shit. Like we should. And when we landed, it was like green grass everywhere. I'm like, holy shit!
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm gonna. This just shows you that I'm consumed with trying to get people to watch content. Where it's like, oh, I'll submit the footage and we'll get millions of views. And the green grass is out there, and I walk out, and I'm like, oh, I'll just hold my breath until I get to like a thing, as opposed to my fucking eyes popping out like Total Recall. I get there, and my wife's like, put your mask on. And there's like communities like set up like Lost, like tons of people.
Yeah.
There. And they have like these things kind of in their head with getting oxygen, and someone's like, what are you walking around like that? You're not going to be able to breathe. And stuck one on our heads, and they were like, you can't say anything. You got to stay here. And I don't remember. I remember it being a very long dream, but that's all I remember from it. So maybe that's why I started thinking about going to space.
I like it. It's better than the one where Lonnie brought her boyfriend around. I'm like, what are you doing? Have you had those? Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, no. I've had.
And you wake up and you just look at him.
You're right. Like they did something. They did something wrong.
What? Bringing your boyfriend around.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just your dream. Like, yeah, but why did I dream that?
Yeah.
Why did I dream that? Sometimes though, not in that circumstance, but sometimes though, that shit, that's like your sixth sense telling you something. I'm not talking about with you, but I'm just saying sometimes though, it's like, if it's like, hey, I had a dream that, you know,
she did leave something. The house once last month.
I don't know. You know, check her purse.
She could be seeing somebody.
She could be doing something nasty. I don't know. I mean, it's like, but anyway, so I had that dream, and I think maybe that's why I started thinking about it. But I agree. I mean, people should definitely be using the, if you have the money, you should be donating and try to help people. That was the one thing that I said. But I still think it's like, if I had the money to go to space, dude, if I wanted to go to space, I don't give a shit about going to space, to be honest with you. But if I had the money and I wanted to go to space, I'd go to space.
They don't have that money because they were thinking about other people. That's the other thing.
Right.
You don't become a billionaire because you're thinking of the betterment of, like, to become a billionaire, you have to be a narcissist.
100%.
Or just be given a bunch of money.
Well, because you have to, you've got to... I'll tell you, you have to focus. Nothing can stand in your way, family, any of that shit. It cannot stand in your way if you want to get to the level of what those guys did. There's just no way. I mean, that's why a lot of these guys have like these, and women, they have like the trophy husband and wives, the ones that have done it, because you ever see the movie Family Man with Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
I always think about that kind of shit. It's where you have a guy who's just so laser focused, Tia Leone. It's a great movie,
Tia Leone.
It's a great movie.
That's another one.
And she tells him not to leave. She tells him, don't leave. Stay here. Let's create a family. And he goes. And he winds up becoming like the most successful businessman, but he's lonely. You know, but he's successful as hell. But he doesn't give a shit. And then Don Cheadle comes in, he's like the angel, gives him a glimpse into into what his life would have been. He wakes up in his house in Jersey somewhere, and you just see that side of it, and it's like you see the sacrifices that he made of what he was going to do. And I think that's you're right, you got to be laser focused on yourself, and you got to be able to work from like 9 until 3 in the morning every day if you want, on whatever it is, but you can't put anybody else to reach that level.
And it sucks because, you know, you'd expect then somebody to go like, because we think about ourselves and we're like, man, if I had that kind of money, I'd be giving to this and a bit, because, you know, I used to like, oh, I want a big, I don't want a big mansion. I want a house that I own that has the perfect amount of rooms, no more, no less.
I'm not lying.
Maybe
to you.
A pool, maybe, you that's, know, like, that's, you know, nothing
if,
crazy.
Nothing crazy. I'm not lying. I told Ellis this. If someone just gave me a boatload of cash, like that I could make sure my kids could go to school, and I was comfortable for the rest of my life, and I could live on a beach house in Maui, you would never see me again.
Yeah.
You would never see me again. And it's just to be able to relax and chill. And I would take a big sledgehammer to my phone, smash it into a million pieces, and then I would just live on a beach and just relax and chill.
I legit was shopping for flip phones yesterday.
Flip phone?
Yeah, just a flip phone.
Stay
with
away
no me. Apps. No,
I can't do that, though.
I don't know what... Well, again...
I can't do it.
I don't use the social media, but I am somebody that sits there and scrolls through it. I don't post, but I'm constantly scrolling and looking stuff, and it gives me anxiety and anger and, like, what people are saying. You know, that's what I, you know, appreciate, like, with yours. It's like, okay, yeah, that's just promotional.
That's all I do.
Yeah. But, and also, it's also disheartening sometimes when you're like, God, there's a lot of funny motherfuckers out there. This guy came up with the best joke about this thing. Yeah. You gotta push that away if
you
I want to do stand-up.
You would be able to, I mean, if you wanted to write, the way you should tweet, to be completely honest with you, is some of your one-liners that you do, you should write them down and tweet them out.
Yeah.
That's what Ellis does. And Ellis pins them to his fucking thing and gets like a lot of attention from it. I mean, I think that's the way you should be using your Twitter, to be honest, because then you can just throw your jokes out there and you walk away. You don't, you know, sit back.
The walk away is the thing.
It'll walk
I
away.
Think it's the going back and checking and seeing how many people did it. If I could get that blocked out of my brain, because I mean, I did an Instagram thing, a picture recently, and I was like, wow, I got a lot of attention for that. I'm like, ooh, this is cool. And then I kept checking. I'm like, no. If I could manage the post it, let
post
it go
it,
out there
away.
And walk away.
Take a shot, walk off the court.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Let it be out.
And if you do get yourself looking at the twits and saying to yourself, oh, man, I'm not feeling good. Well, guess what? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited to talk to you about this because I've talked to you about it many times over, and I'll talk to you about it again. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. If there's something interfering with your happiness or you're scrolling through Twitter too much and it's not letting you achieve your goals, Brett. Brett gets upset with Twitter. He doesn't like what he's seeing. Someone doesn't like one of his jokes. He's got BetterHelp. And what BetterHelp will do is it'll assess your need and it'll match you with your own licensed professional, your licensed professional therapist. And you can start communicating in under 48 hours. This is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. The service is available for clients worldwide, and there is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. You can get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room with, traditional therapy that usually is sitting around in a waiting room. You feel, who's going to see me? Blah, blah, blah. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need to. It's way more affordable than traditional online counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. And if you want to, browse around, take a look, go to the website. Read some of the testimonials that are posted daily. And you can visit betterhelp.com/SENLive, and that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. This is a special offer for the Big Thing listeners. You get 10% off for your first month at betterhelp.com/SENLive. I've been looking at, again, with Sopranos, even with, like, thinking about BetterHelp and all that, and there's this whole meeting that happens in that waiting room with Tony, and then he meets this girl Gloria because she books them the wrong times, so she double books, so they meet each other, then they wind up dating, and that's a disaster. Oh, so yeah. You know what happened at BetterHelp?
Yeah,
you know what happened? You just want BetterHelp.
And the first time I ever went to my psychiatrist, the waiting room music was the most depressing shit. I'm like, you guys need to change this channel. Baby, come back. I was a fool to leave. I was like, what the hell is you doing?
They probably don't even think about it. Yeah. They don't even realize how, like, what we got to be playing in that. Somebody comes in and they're just like, because they're of a divorce. And they come in just like, why did you leave me? Are you ever going to come back? I'm sad sitting in my therapist's office.
The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy, blue and man. Why the fuck are you playing?
Start weeping. But I mentioned to you guys before, they said the Black Beetle. I said blue. It again, Blue Beetle, Black Beetle. Blue Beetle, thank you. Blue Beetle is... And I'm pretty sure I just sent a text to PLD, and I got to see if this is the case. But I had an opportunity a few different times to speak with Jolo Maradueña from Cobra Kai. I love this kid. Not only in the show, stand up, dude. Every time he and I speak, he's he's got his head on his shoulders. He's one of these kids that came from his mom. It keeps him in check, and he's like he doesn't, his head hasn't gotten big from being in this hit show, and just a really good kid. And I'm pretty sure I got to go back and I got to check, but I did an interview with him. The first time I interviewed him was for when I was doing one-on-one with Christian Harloff on Collider.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I think he told me back then that he wanted to be the Blue Beetle. I'm pretty sure he did, but I'm going to double check this. But Cobra Kai breakout actor Jolo Maradueña is in talks to star in the lead role of Jamie Reyes in the Blue Beetle film for HBO Max, Warner Brothers, and DC Films. The project marks the first DC superhero movie led by a Latino character, though DC has several Latino characters in its films before, while both Supergirl and Batgirl in upcoming films are being played by Latina actresses. Maradueña is of Mexican, Cuban, and Ecuadorian heritage. Story centers on the 2006 Jamie Reyes iteration of the character, a Mexican-American teenager who discovers the Blue Beetle's scarab on the way home from school with two of his best friends, Paco and Brenda, the trinket half buried in a disused lot. Reyes takes the scarab home, Curious as what it might be, and that night it comes alive and grafts itself to the base of Jamie's spine, providing him with a suit of extraterrestrial armor that can be modified to enhance his speed and strength as well as to create weapons, wings, and shields. Sounds venomish. Charm City Kings director Angel Manuel Soto is set to direct from a script by Gareth Dunette Alacar, who did Miss Bala and Scarface, and the project is targeting a shoot to kick off early next year. I'm all for it. I'm also all for it if it turns out that this was the movie that he really wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's pretty great when somebody has a passion project they've wanted to do and he winds up doing it. So I'm excited.
I love ones. This, again, I've said it so many times, but I love superheroes that I have never heard of, backstory. Right? Yeah. That's to me, because it's just finding that character and finding all the stuff about it, and not having any sort of like, well, this Superman's supposed to be this way. This is wonderful. I can't wait to see this.
I'm excited for it. And especially him. I root for this kid. I really do. I just think he's just a tremendous human being, and I really like what he's done on Cobra Kai. So I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for the movie, and I love that it's HBO Max.
Yeah.
I really applaud the way DC has changed their entire strategy over the last 3 or 4 years. They don't give a shit about trying just to appease families. I mean, look, apparently the Suicide Squad is incredible. It comes out this weekend on HBO Max. I'll be watching it. So, that's one that I can't wait to see. I hear great things about it. But with that, Joker, this... They know what they're doing now. They have a pure definition of their brand. They're not trying to play, well, this is what Marvel doing, so we have to do that. They said, fuck that. We're just going to do our own thing. We have these darker superheroes. We have this way that we're doing films, and they're embracing it. And I hope that this is one of those things as well. Thanks, Brett.
Indeedy. Yeah. Oh, I just thought I didn't know if you're done or not. Can you explain a meme to me?
A meme?
One that said it was like Marvel and
I thought you meant the actual a meme in general.
Oh, what it is. No, it was Marvel and it was somebody with a camera.
Yeah.
And it said lights, camera, action. And then DC, camera, action. What were they saying?
I'd have to see it in context. Okay. I don't know.
I'm not sure what you said. They don't light DC films well.
Oh, maybe. Oh, because it's dark.
Yeah,
maybe because they're darker.
Is that
a lot of the DC films are dark?
Are darker.
So maybe that's probably why. I would assume so.
So you're saying Suicide Squad is going to be free with my subscription?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they don't do the Disney Plus thing.
Oh, they don't. Okay.
No, this is HBO Max. That was their whole system was release it in the theater, release it at the same time. Yeah. I love it. Apparently, they're not doing it next year, which sucks. I think that they should, but unless they do the unlocking, Disney Plus though, for me, I'm just waiting. I did it for Raya and the Last Dragon. The Last Dragon, I bought it because I really wanted to watch it with my daughter. We sat down, we had a nice like dad and daughter movie night. But for Black Widow, I was like, I mean, it's a movie I want to see.
I know, I keep
and I missed the screener for it, but I'm not paying $30 for it. I'll wait for it because it.
But I keep thinking about it.
I have thought about it, but I know it's going to be on Disney Plus soon. So I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait for it to hit Disney Plus, and then once it does, I'll watch it probably the night that it comes out. But the same thing with Jungle Cruise. I was able to see the screener for it. I was able to watch it, but my daughter only got to see the first half of it. And she's like, "Oh, can we watch it?" I was like, "It's going to be on Disney Plus in a couple months. We'll watch it because what are we paying for every month?"
Yeah.
It's like, I think for HBO Max, the way that they've done it, like Dune. I'm telling you, man, I'm locking my door. I'm going to smoke a fat bowl. I'm going to block out all the light, and I'm just going to watch the movie in here. I'm going to blast the sound up, and I'm just going to kick back, grab some popcorn, and watch Dune in here. And that's how I'm going to do it. I'm not going near the movie theater. They asked – I got a screening for the Suicide Squad, and I'm not going near the movie theater.
Yeah.
Paw Patrol, I'm so bummed. Paw Patrol, no joke.
Like,
my daughter wanted – it was going to be the first movie – that I was going to take her to see in the theater, my youngest, and I'm just not doing it right now.
Yeah, it's. I mean, and also I was saying this because when I go to my axe throwing league, now we have to mask up.
We got to talk about that after this.
Oh, dude.
We got to talk about that. So cool. Finish what you're saying.
But we have to mask up the whole time now. And I was saying to somebody, I was like, I wasn't against masks. I just avoided things where I had to wear a mask for a long period of time. So 4 hours with a mask on is a lot. 2 hours is, you know, again, I'm fine with being uncomfortable. You know, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it, but I just avoided these things. So now, like, going to a theater is still like, I'd much rather watch it.
You know, I wore a mask the entire time at the Scum and Villainy Cantina. I wore it during the matches. It's a promise I made to my wife, but it was also something that I was comfortable doing. People bitch about it when they're watching it, so be it. I would much rather wear a mask, do the thing I had to do, call the match, have the event, gave the competitors the option. You want to wear a mask during competition? Both Merle and Irwin chose to wear masks. There were other competitors who didn't, and we gave them that option. They were spaced out from each other. But like it's like I'm everywhere I go. I go shopping. I'm wearing them. I don't understand the whole protest against the mask. I just don't get it. Like it's a whole big thing, and I don't want to get into it with anybody on the comments. If you want to scream and yell about masks, then please go ahead. It's like, I don't understand it. It's like, put a fucking mask on. What do I care? It's like, I don't give a shit. It's like, I just want this shit to be over with. It's like, you tell me to fucking go into space with the two idiots, and if it was going to make this all go away, then I'll go to space. Yeah. I just want this shit to be over with. Like, that's what I don't understand. It's like, let's not make people are going, I got to stand up for my rights. It's like, stand up for your rights on something else. Let's just get this done, and then we can all yell at each other. It's like, who was it that was saying about the, can't remember who it was, talking about that. It was the Fonz, for God's sakes, talking about Henry Winkler saying that with the smallpox and all this shit back in the day, like that people, if no one protested against vaccines, we'd still have it. We'd still have it if they did. Like, we'd have all the chicken pox, and what was the other one that
scabies.
It was, but it was all this shit that went
polio.
Polio.
Yeah,
that's what he tweeted out about. But polio. It's like we if they didn't get the vaccine in polio, no one was like, nah. So and so says not to get it, so I'm not gonna get it. It's
like, polio was a fucker too, man. Oh, shit. That I mean,
vaccinated them all the most motherfuckers, and we don't have it anymore.
Nobody was. Yeah, that was.
I don't get it. But again. Rates are going, things are going up, and then lots of places are saying, like, so New York, for people who are wondering, we were going to do this even before New York, so you won't be able to go to the New York Live event if you don't show proof of vaccination, and they're requiring masks at the moment. I mean, this is October we're talking about, but there's no, every place, everything that we do is going to be, you have to show proof of vaccination, and then there's lots of places that are doing that now, so it's funny that they're like, no mandates. We're not saying mandates. It's exactly what they're doing. It's exactly what they're doing. Anyway, so there's other shit going on in the world. Let's talk about this fucking axe throwing. When did you start throwing axes?
I did that at Leaf's place. He has one in the backyard, and that was like, you know, the first kind of thing I started doing where, like, it was like, oh, well, we can hang out in the backyard. We can be masked up. And, you know, and he goes, I got this mask. And his wife actually got it after going to a party for the place we go to and then bought all this stuff and then got disinterested. And now we're hardcore into it. And it's so fun. And it's like, it's a league thing, but you don't have to have teams. So I'm just playing as myself against other people.
A good workout for the arms.
Oh, it's the one.
Or just the one.
Is that you use? Some people do a double, but for me, it's easier to do this one. And I'm 15th right now.
Tonight, out of how many?
Out of 30, I believe. Okay. Yeah. So you would think.
I could see you beat
two people that were like ranked really second and fifth.
That's great.
And they were like noticeably shook by this because they saw my first couple of weeks where I'm just shanking it off the wall.
Yeah. And you got, well, you get that's how you get though. I know you well enough that if you're interested in it, you'll keep working on it.
I'm like, this is a sport, honey. It's a sport. Do it sports.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, it's like it's So where is it? Where? How far
from
your house?
It's in North Holland. It's a bit of a drive.
Okay.
But I would say 100% this would be a fun thing to do with a group of people, yeah. You know, and the crew and stuff. Yeah. Or we could, you know, I mean, even the World Girls should do a thing with it because it's just
worried about Roxy. She throws one of those and she winds up going with it. The axe has got to weigh more than she does.
Yeah, that's shame. But yeah. I'm telling you what, it's super fun. The people there are super supportive. And like somebody, they'll give you pointers, like people that are like better than you and stuff yeah. like that have been, but not in a condescending way. They'll go like, hey, you know what? If you back up like one step, you'll probably hit it because you're over, and you go, oh, okay, and you do it, and you're like, funk, bullseye,
right.
You know, so it's a super supportive thing. Funk. It's not dangerous. Like, that's immediately what people think. There's fencing up, and that, like, people will get on you if you, like, take your axe out of the area without right. a thing on it and stuff, but I love it, and tonight's a big night because I've got to keep my, because it's the 7th week. The 8th week is the finals competition.
Yeah.
If I don't stay within the 15th or above, I don't get a, you know, be in the finals, which I really want to be in the
sounds
finals.
Sounds fun. Yeah, yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. So do they broadcast any of these things?
No. Shit. I mean, I think I definitely think it'd be super fun to do, like, you know, again, do like an SCN Live yeah. there or something and give them some props for it and let yeah. them, we would have a lot of fun.
I have an idea what we can do after hearing about this, but before we do, and as we were talking about all these different streaming services and HBO Max and all of that, I've mentioned to you guys that it's on my computer, it's working right now, ExpressVPN. If you guys have asked yourself why internet access is so much cheaper these days, like, oh, that's a good deal. It's like 30 to 40 bucks a month. That's great. Companies are really being nice. No, it's because internet servers, whether it's Comcast or AT&T, they don't just make the money off subscription feeds anymore. They're making money from spying on your internet activity and selling your history and your data to big tech companies. So what is the best way to make sure that 100% of your data is encrypted and that your internet provider can't get a hold of it? That's what we're talking about, ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN creates a secure tunnel between all of your devices and the internet so that everything that you do online is encrypted. It reroutes your connection through a secure server. This blocks your internet provider from seeing anything that you do online, and all they can see is that you're connected to an ExpressVPN server, but that's all they see. And it's not just for your phone or your computer. ExpressVPN works on every one of your devices. It'll work on your tablet, it'll work on your smart TV, even on your router, so your entire family can always stay protected. I can't stress it enough. ExpressVPN is so simple to use. You just open the app, you tap one button, that's it. Done. Your data is your business. You got to protect it. At expressvpn.com/SEN, you visit expressvpn.com/SEN, you get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN protection for free. Don't be silly. Don't say, I don't need this. Trust me. You don't want people knowing what you do. ExpressVPN.com/SEN to learn more.
They don't need to learn what you do. Need it. We don't need protection.
Oh, what?
Oh,
Brett's
no.
Brett's gone. He's gone, everybody. Magic, make Brett come back.
Yay!
He's back. What do you got going on today?
What? Axing tonight.
Are you axing tonight?
Yeah.
What time's that going? So you like,
I have to
prep
leave
on
at
it?
5 to get there, and you get an hour of practice, and you kind of alternate.
Yeah.
And I've noticed people don't come as early, and I'm always there right to get my practice in ahead of time.
That's probably why you beat the number 2 guy.
Yeah. Got to do it.
So who's the champ?
Well, the champ right now.
Shitzy McGee.
There's a lot of nicknames, and I don't have a nickname yet, and I thought it would be a little, like, I can't just come and go, nickname Sniper, you know, because then it's like, too, like, oh, you think.
Why in the world have you not shown up there as a flirt in class? Are you fucking kidding me? We have to have you, how, come on, man, if you've ever, you should have shown up day one as a flirt in class. And started, like, firing a fucking axe across the line. I did it. Oh, my goodness. With the championship belt of FCL over your shoulder. We got to follow you in there with a camera as throwing a fucking axe around. It's, I mean, incredible. We got to get footage just for promos.
My scarf is getting in the way.
Yeah, and just throw it. We should do that one day, like, just have you. Like, my daughter, by the way, because, you know, all the new rules with MTS, she's like, you know, if Flaus comes back, he's got to get that haircut again, right? And I said, I don't know if he's able to do it, honey. So, you know, it's like, it's, but the new hat and stuff works pretty well.
Yeah, I did a top hat the last time. I try to that's an actual tuft of my hair that I stick to.
Have you seen Cocomelon? Have you seen the baby in Cocomelon?
I think you showed me.
I'm gonna show you. I'll see if I can get it.
I know my goddaughter loves this.
Yeah, it's, where is it? It's baby Flouse. Look at this kid. Hold on. I'm gonna bring it up. I'll put it up. I'll show everybody here. So baby Flouse is the Cocomelon kid. That's Collision. And then this is in case you didn't know already, that's happening on August 14th. But that's look at this kid.
That's brilliant.
That's Flouse. That's Flouse. Baby Flouse. It's amazing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we had a good show here today. It was fun. Make sure, there's a couple of things that you should know, by the way. If you didn't already know this, SEN Live, if you've been looking for it, it's on Twitch now. Lives on Twitch, been living on Twitch Monday and Tuesday. They're the first two episodes. And there's a few more announcements with that. So for SEN Live, and I'll put this in the description for this video, for where to find SEN Live on Twitch, obviously, it's the Schmodown channel. But the Patreon now, $5 patrons will get the, if you still want to watch it on YouTube, you can. $5 patrons will get the link 2 weeks after when it disappears off of Twitch. But the $10 and up patrons are going to get an unlisted link of the show on YouTube that will be sent to you the next day. And then I think they're doing $15 patrons and up are getting an access to the entire library of SEN in general, but they have to be re-uploaded and all this too, so hence the tier itself. But all those new prices are going to be up there and all the new tiers, so you can check out the SEN Live. It's below. And then this show, if you didn't know already, is moving on Monday to the new channel, so don't forget that. Subscribe to that new channel. That link is also in the description. Don't miss it. But for Brett Sheridan and myself, we'll see you on the flip sides, homie. Peace out. That was a fun one, Brett. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, we did it.